You alone can rescue, you alone can save, you alone can lift us from the grave. You came down to find us, let us out of death. To you alone belongs the highest praise. To you alone belongs the highest praise.
Welcome to our service this Sunday, the 25th of October, 2020. My name is Max Cross and I'm the church leader in Bedhampton Parish. You are most welcome to this service as we come together across the area to worship our God. Just a few pieces of news as we begin. We are praying for children's work here in Bedhampton Parish. I'd invite you to join us as we continue to pray for someone or a couple to be raised up here in Bedhampton Parish to lead us in our children's and families ministry. So do be praying for that. And if you want to join us, you can join us on a Wednesday morning online at 8 o'clock, where amongst other things, we pray for just that. Details on the screen and on your news sheet, which you get no doubt by email. Also, just to let you know that next weekend is our Messy Church weekend, so there'll be a Messy Church video online. Share that with the families and the friends you have around the area. And then on Sunday the 8th of November, we have our remembrance service. We have two services that day. We have a service at 10:50 at St. Thomas's in Bidbury Lane, where we will do our normal remembrance service as we remember those who serve us. And in addition to that, we also have an 8 a.m. Holy Communion in remembrance of our dear friend George Gadsby. That again is at 8 a.m. on Remembrance Sunday, and we will remember both those who have served us, but also our dear friend George. If you want to come to either of those or any of our services or events, then do book in online or phone the office and leave a message on the answer machine. You'd be most welcome to join us, whether you normally join us or not, for that. And of course, as ever, on Remembrance, we will have this online service as well. In addition to that, on the 1st of November, which is All Saints Day, we will be holding what we call our memory service, when we come together at 3 p.m. on the 1st of November and we remember those that we have lost, those who have died and who we have loved, who are no longer with us. And we come before our God. We just come before our God in our sorrow and remember them and ask God to bless us in our mourning. So again, you'd be most welcome to join, whether you have lost someone in the last year or whether that was decades ago and the pain is still there. You'd be most welcome to join us. Book in for that, or by leaving a message on the answer machine in the office, or by booking in online, or just speaking to me. And as we come to the end of our news in the parish, we come, of course, to do what we really want to do here. We come to worship our God. This week we are continuing our look at the Gospel of Matthew. That's the biography of Jesus written by Matthew. And we are looking at that this week as we move into that. If you want to catch up on some of our past looks at parts of Matthew, you can do that on the website as we continue to work our way through the Gospel of Matthew. But for now, let's take a moment to draw ourselves before God. He is with us through his Spirit wherever we go. But sometimes it helps us just to still our hearts, quiet our minds, and recognize that he's with us. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we might spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Our greeting there today coming from Hebrews 10, 19 to 24. And we'll be using more Bible scriptures throughout our service together today. Indeed, we're going to do that right now as we come before our God in sorrow for the mistakes that we have made, for the sins that we have made. As we turn away, we repent of those. We turn to him, the light that is Jesus, and we receive God's forgiveness. So let's take a moment again just to be quiet and reflect on our lives as we come for that forgiveness from our Lord. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Amen. Now it's just your job to believe the truth of that, that your sins and your mistakes are trodden under the foot of Jesus. Those two passages that we used there were 1 John as we entered into our forgiveness, and Micah 7 as we received our forgiveness. And now we're going to sing a lovely hymn, Christ is the King. O friends, rejoice. Brothers and sisters, with one voice, tell all the world he is your choice. And after this hymn, we're going to come back and have a Bible quiz.
Christ is our King of friends, rejoice. Brothers and sisters, with one voice, tell all the world he is your choice.
welcome back from that lovely hymn. And do not panic about this Bible quiz. It's a simple true or false. Let's see what we know about our Bible, shall we, as we're using more scriptures perhaps than we usually would this week to go through our service. So, true or false? The Bible says that money is the root of all evil. True or false? Well, actually, that's false, isn't it? Because you probably know this one, I would guess. But the Bible actually says in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Important distinction there. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So how did you get? Did you get that one? I wonder if you got that one. What about this one then? We are told God works in mysterious ways in the Bible. Well, God may well work in mysterious ways, but we're not told that in this collection of books we call the Bible. It doesn't say that at all. So that's false. Too false so far. Did you manage to get that one, I wonder? How many have you got so far? What about this one? The resolution to arguing with your spouse is to move to the roof. Bizarrely, this one is true. Proverbs 21:9 says, better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. I think you could probably put husband there instead as well. So that was true. Did you get that one right? How are you doing? Three questions. How many have you got so far? What about number four here? God helps those who help themselves. Is that in the Bible? Well, that's not, as you may have guessed, in the Bible. That is false and actually may be more derived from the Quran. Quran 13:11, which has something similar to that. But it's certainly not in our scriptures. How about this one then? By the skin of my teeth. Is that saying in the Bible? Well, that's probably true, that one. It probably comes from Job 19:20, which says, I am nothing but skin and bones. I have escaped only by the skin of my teeth. So that's five questions so far. How are you doing? True or false? False news, the truth, what are they? Five so far. One last one for you before we finish. In the Bible, a king dies on the toilet. Well, that is true. It's found in Judges 3:24 to 25. It says here, after he'd gone, the servants came and found the doors of the upper room locked. They said, he must be relieving himself in the inner room of the palace. They waited to the point of embarrassment. But when he did not open the door of the room, they took a key and unlocked them. And then he saw that the Lord had fallen to the floor dead. Not the place I'd want to die. But anyway, there you go. False news or real news from the Bible. Six questions. How did you do? How many did you get correct? Well, we're talking more about how we discern what is true or false in a moment after we've heard from Neville and Sandra as they read the whole of Genesis 3 and then our section from Matthew 7 today.
The reading is from Genesis chapter 3, the fall. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this that you have done? The woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. To the woman he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labour you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam he said, Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. And the Lord God said, The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand, and take also from the tree of life and eat, and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. This is the word of the Lord.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 23. A tree and its fruit. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you to Sandra and to Neville for those readings. But let me read you another one as well. Let me read you about the childhood of Jesus. When Jesus was 5 years old, he was playing in a stream on the Sabbath day. And then he took some soft clay and made 12 sparrows. Joseph came and, seeing what Jesus was doing, playing on the Sabbath, cried out to him, What you do on the Sabbath is not lawful to do. Jesus clapped his hands and said to the sparrows, Off you go. And the sparrows flew away singing their bird song. The Jews nearby, seeing the miracle, were amazed and went away and reported to their chief rabbi all they had seen the child Jesus do. That's amazing, isn't it? I just love the idea that as a child, Jesus was performing miracles and confounding the religious people, creating life from dust. It's just a wonderful thing to behold. And I wonder what we might learn from that. What might we learn from that reading? Well, the truth is, not a great deal. Because the problem is, Jesus never did that. Or at least we don't know that he did that. That text is not from the book we call the Bible. It's not from these collection of scriptures that we have. It's actually from what's called a Gnostic text, and they've taken the name of Thomas to give it credence. We've got to be careful what we take as being truth, isn't it? We've been going through Matthew, and now we've just been going through the Sermon on the Mount, the teachings of Jesus. And we've come to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus finishes with three warnings. And we heard one of those warnings last week when we were hearing about the narrow gate and the wide gate, the narrow path and the wide path. And this week, we cover the final two warnings in the Sermon on the Mount. Warnings about who to trust and who actually knows Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm quite trusting by nature. If you come into my life and you speak with authority, I'll probably assume that you know what you're talking about. It's just my nature. It's the way that I am. Maybe you're like that. How do you take things like on Facebook or on the news or even to those you listen to in church? Do you assume that they are telling the truth? Or perhaps you're a bit more reserved, maybe even a little cynical. Is, I wonder, one way better than the other? Well, Jesus begins today's gospel, today's biography of him, by saying this. He says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." Now, by the time we get to the Gospels in this Bible, prophets have become people that know what they're talking about. Rabbis, pastors, someone who has influence. Jesus himself would have been considered a prophet. Indeed, maybe in today's society, we might be thinking about professors or doctors or politicians or experts. And yes, even church leaders. People who point to a truth to the people around them. But of course, the question is, whose truth is it? That's the real question. I mean, we learned last week, for example, that despite what you read on the internet, all roads do not lead up the same mountain. All truths do not lead to the same God. Some point to the wide road, which Jesus says leads to disaster, while others point to the narrow road, which leads to life, what Jesus called life to the full. And this has been a problem for thousands of years. It's not a new problem. Trying to discern truth from what you hear from others is not a new problem. I mean, we see in Jeremiah 14 or Deuteronomy 13, we see how to treat false prophets, how to discover false prophets. And then in the New Testament, there's 2 Peter 2, there's 2 Timothy 4, amongst many others. I mean, 1 John 4, for example, says this. "Dear friends," it says, "do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone into the world." And the list just goes on. There are many warnings about receiving truth or teaching from false prophets. I mean, should you even listen to me? I mean, how do you know that you can trust me? Does this make any difference? Do you assume that just because I might be a nice chap, that I'm not a wolf in sheep's clothing? Is there, I wonder, any wisdom in this collection of books that we might find to discover how we discern truth from falsehood? people who follow Jesus from false prophets? Well, you know the answer to the question. Of course, there is some solution here in the words of Jesus. Jesus starts by saying, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. You see, it's not what comes out of my mouth that you should be most concerned about, although you'd want to be concerned about that. But actually, it's what you observe in my life and the lives of those who dare teach the way of Jesus. Do you see me? Do you see others living out what we preach? If I say to you, Jesus says that we should serve one another, do you see me serving other people? If I tell you that actually the best way to walk with Jesus is in a small community, a home group, a life group, that we walk together like that, do you see me walking in a small community, a life group? How do you see me or others treat our children? How do you see me treat my wife? Does that line up with what Jesus says is the best for them? Not, of course, that we're perfect. No one is perfect. But does the person that you're accepting teaching from have the fruit in their life that suggests they follow Jesus? If they don't listen to them, because you are responsible for who your own discipleship, and you are responsible for who you listen to. You see, their life is a great way to discern if they are a teacher of the way of Jesus and the fruit in their life. But Jesus has more ways. He says this. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Only the one who does the will of my Father. What are they teaching? What are these prophets teaching? Are they true prophets or false prophets? We know, for example, that the will of the Father is for us to love him and love people, to see his kingdom come on this earth. And we know that Jesus only did what the Father told him to do, that Jesus and the Father and the Spirit are one and the same. John 14:11 says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. So are the people that you are accepting teaching from and wisdom from and guidance from teaching the way of Jesus, or do they just say things that sound Christian-like? Are they just saying words that sound right? I mean, for example, if we were to read Jeremiah 29, how would they teach from that? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And would they teach from that God loves you? Well, he does, but not because of those verses. Would they teach from that God wants the best for you? Well, I believe he does, but not because of those verses. Perhaps they would teach from that God wants you to have a £10 million house and a £100,000 car. Well, it might be true, but not because of those verses there. Those verses were spoken to a nation in exile in Babylon. They weren't spoken directly to us today. We can learn from them, but they weren't spoken directly to us. God loves you. God wants the best for you. I believe that. God may even want you to have that car, but I suspect he may want you to do something with the money before the car. So we've learned, haven't we? Does their life show fruit that they follow Jesus? Is their teaching sound? Are they teaching from the Holy Scriptures? Can it stand to be tested? If not, don't listen to them. You are responsible for your own discipleship. You are responsible for who you listen to. And finally, we read Jesus say this? Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I would tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Now, in your Bible, there may be a separate heading at that point from that and the previous text that we've been reading. But don't forget, the headings were never there to start with. We've put those in later. The important bit here is to see what the context of that text is. And we see at this point, Jesus is teaching about false prophets. So this is our third and final test of who we accept guidance from. Do they have a relationship with Jesus? Do they know him? Do they know him? Away from me, he says, I never knew you. And that word knew isn't a sort of passing knowledge of. It isn't an acquaintance. It's the same sort of relationship that I would have with my wife, Susie. It's a deep understanding of relationship with someone. Does the person that you accept teaching from know Jesus, or are they a false prophet? They might be a very nice person, but are they a false prophet? So three ways to test for false prophets in 2020. Does their life show fruit? Is their teaching true from Holy Scriptures? And do they have a relationship with Jesus? If not, don't listen to them. You are responsible for your own discipleship. You're responsible for who you listen to. Be that in a church, be that on the internet, be that politicians, be that anyone who offers you a way of living your life. And that's the take home for me today, really. You are responsible for your own discipleship. You discern who you listen to. You're guided, of course, by God's Spirit. But what we've got to be careful about is that it's not just the Holy Spirit who is vying for your attention, which is why I had that reading earlier on from the whole of Genesis. Don't you see that? That's exactly what we're talking about here. God has set up a perfect relationship with those that he loves. He's provided for them. He's saying, there you go. Have life and life to the full. And then the devil, the serpent. And whether this is an analogy or whether this is literal truth doesn't matter, because there is truth in here. As we see the serpent come along and say, you won't die. Surely you won't die. I have a better understanding of what God really wants for your life than what he has said. Here, have a bite. He might continue. Here, listen to my spin on scripture. We're more mature, we're more educated these days. It isn't the way that it was back then. Here, have a bite. That's not God's plan for you. I know what God's plan is for you. You want to live life to the full. You want to have a happy life. It is a happy life that you want, isn't it? That's what we're told, isn't it? Here, have a bite. Come over here. It's faster over here. We can get there quicker. We can do what we want to do and be happy and live life. That's what you want. That's what God would want for you, isn't it? Here, have a bite. I know better than God's plan. Here, have a bite. You see, we think we know better than God's plan for us. But the truth is, the way of Jesus is the plan for us. But we think we know better. And so we take a bite. We fall for a false prophet. And Jesus, 2,000 years later, has to come and save us once more. But imagine if you became responsible for who you listen to. If you became responsible for your own discipleship. Maybe did join a small community, a home group, a life group. 6, 8, 10 people that you walk together with. Imagine what would happen as you kept each other accountable. As you walked forward, discerning the truth from this collection of books. The road taken would be the narrow road, not the wide road to destruction. Imagine the impact that would have on your life. And then imagine what would happen here in Bedhampton as those small communities come together in one larger church, and we saw God's kingdom come. We worshipped our God fully and saw his kingdom come. Can you imagine what would happen if we truly took the words of Jesus seriously? All we need to do is walk with Jesus and do what he would do if he was us in 2020. Well, as we take some of that on board now, we're going to hear a song that says, only Jesus can rescue. You alone can rescue.
Save themselves, their own soul could heal. A shame was deeper than the sea, your grace is deeper still. You alone can rescue, you alone can save, you alone can lift us from the grave. You came down to find us, let us out of death. To you alone belongs the highest praise. To you alone belongs the highest praise.
You alone can rescue. And as we ponder that further, Fleur's going to bring us our prayers for the week. So as Fleur prays, don't just be sitting there quietly on your own. Be lifting your own prayers to God. You can do that out loud to the Holy Spirit as we pray. God can hear Fleur as well as you. Or you can do it quietly in your heart. But let's lift our own prayers and supplications to God as Fleur prays.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your loving grace, that you love us so much that you prompt us in spite of our inequities, that you care for us irrespective of our behaviour. I thank you for your Bible, your living word, how it speaks to us as much today as it did when it was first written. Guide us, Father, with your loving arm to help us see your truth and to ignore and reject that which is not of you. Help us to cling to your truth and give us strength to ignore anything that is false and evil. Lord, there is much that divides us in our country: geography, wealth, education, health, and deprivation. Guide us in how we can remove those barriers of inequality. We are so blessed to live here and to be part of this community. Help us not to hide our blessings, but to share them as you shared your ultimate blessing of Jesus. Forgive us for falling short and guide us in how we should act and care. Father, we pray for everyone who has found themselves adversely affected by the tiered lockdown. Our heart goes out to them and we pray that the restrictions don't last for long and we see a decline in the coronavirus. We pray fervently for those worried by money or illness. Be the balm to their hearts, Lord. Father, we pray for the leaders of our country. We thank them for their service and we ask that you bless them. Lay your hand upon all those in positions of power, that they might fight to carry out your true and perfect will. Jesus, be our light, be our fire, send your healing. Lord, we thank you for opportunities of baptism, wedding, and celebrations. We thank you that you made us to be joyful, to dance, and to sing. Give us opportunities for joy, Lord, when we are alone and when we are suffering. Help us to see joy. Father, we pray for those in need, those listed on our pew sheet and those heavy on our own hearts. And let us come together and finish with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, the glory are yours, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for those prayers, Fleur. Well, there's been a lot of input this week. You might choose to go back and reread that Matthew passage and then go back and re-listen again to my ideas about what that means. Because you are responsible for your own discipleship. You choose who you listen to, remember. But whatever you do this week, just go with it with the Holy Spirit with you, knowing that God's with you as you go. Go with it with a heart that loves God. Go with it knowing that you are loved by God. Because the overarching story in this Bible is that God loves you so much, he came looking for you. And if you're interested in being part of a home group or a life group, that small community that I spoke about, come and speak to me, send me an email, phone me up. We will make sure that you become part of a group. We've already got some people that have done that and we're beginning to build new groups at the moment. And also, do join me, as I say, for prayer on Wednesday as we pray for God's kingdom to come, not just in our own lives, but the whole life of people in Bedhampton. As we finish our time together, let me say this with you. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout generations forever and ever. That's from Ephesians. That's what I'm talking about, walking out with that knowledge in the week. And the Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Have an amazing Holy Spirit-filled week, and I'll see you soon.